for the Targeted Strategic Prayer Intercession and Spiritual Warfare Manual. Well, it's a manual. It's a workbook. It's a great tool. It's a prayer massive request list. It's also a place you record things. It's kind of like, in a way, your own book of Acts, in a sense. Praying and interceding and writing down what God is saying and writing what else God is saying and what He puts on your heart, what you know you need to be praying, and the answers. Let me tell you one thing. When I've been putting over these years and years and years, I've listed every single one of my family and extended family years ago for salvation. Well, I'm still praying for all of those. There's a few more to get saved. Mom got saved. Dad got saved. Little brother got saved. And aunt got saved. Another aunt got saved. And I just think in terms of grandmothers and others. And they are all on a prayer list. And let alone... Listen, between that, the needs of life, things we're doing, our daily bread, and yet revivals in the sense that we would believe that hundreds of millions are yet to get saved. So I'm going to tell you right now, becoming a powerful prayer warrior, that is one of the most incredible things. Now, I wrote this in the welcome of the workbook itself. Welcome to this workbook. It's action. John Wesley used to say that's where the action is. It's a prayer evangelism manual. This manual is designed for, you know, after 25 years of use, I've had it for 25 years. I've written down prayer lists and requests and noted the answers and all of these different things to where even more than ever excited. At this time in history, at this time in my life, I want to do, I want to bear more fruit than I've ever seen. And I believe the possibilities are there. Jesus said, nothing's impossible to the one that believes. And I want to give you a verse today that I hope you'll remember all the way through this training. No matter what else you're doing, all the way through this training, I pray that you'll remember this about what I'm going to say here in a moment. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him, to God, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Now that, I'm telling you, I believe is what we need to be. I mean, we need to realize how massive. So one of the things is looking at all the prayers of the Bible, Old Testament, New, seeing the God brought earthquakes, God brought food delivered, God brought angels in, God stretched out his hand and did signs and wonders, God struck down the work of the enemy, God engaged evil and wicked individuals. You know, in the book of Hebrews, we read about, by faith, they conquered kingdoms, they administered justice, they routed foreign armies, they became valiant in warfare, in fighting, as warriors. And I think that's true in prayer, that we're here, and I'm going to say again, prayer, and when we talk about this, we can talk to God, but prayer in the intercessory sense, ask and receive, it's designed for the answers. It glorifies God the Father. It demonstrates we're a disciple of Jesus. We've said that in John 15. So foundational today, though, so this one simple audio is just on foundations. The foundation of Jesus. The foundation of being a born-again believer. The foundation of Christ dwelling in us, the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And that every single promise now that God has given in Scripture is, yes, is ours. It's incredible. So the foundations are our relationship to Jesus. Number one, to know Him. That's John 15. To know Him as the source of life. The Father's going to sharpen us. We've been chosen in Christ to go bear fruit, which involves the answers to prayer, miraculous things. But it also involves and flows out of a relationship to Jesus. If you love Him, you obey Him. If you love, and you can study through this this MP3, take a few moments and study John's Gospel 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. See some of the greatest teaching. Jesus to the disciples, Jesus to us, and what it means to know Him. To be born of the Spirit of God, Christ dwelling in you and with you, to be filled with the Spirit of God, and to become that servant. Now, it comes out of relationship to love Him, to know Him, to praise Him. Does the world try to steal all that away? Sure. Does the old sin nature try to come back and do things? Sure. Does the enemy try to cripple the believer? Does the enemy know that there's such a thing as prayer and answers to prayer? I believe that's absolutely true. The enemy loves to cripple believers and break believers down to where they don't even, if the enemy can cripple a believer, then they're pretty much out of the picture. And let me tell you something, an effective prayer life is an indicator of whether we're a normal, spirit-filled, walking in faith, loving Christ, obedient to the Word of God believer. It really is, because anyone who's loving Jesus, filled and clothed with the power of the Spirit of God, any believer like that that is growing in the Word of God in obedience to the Lord, based on, again, John 15, based on everything the book of 1 John tells us, and that's a good study behind all of what I'm saying, it's going to happen because you're designed for it. I believe every believer is designed to see become powerful in prayer and to see massive answers. It's part of that church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. It's part of that church that will produce and help win the world and disciple the world and see the astounding works of God. It involves healing and deliverance and sign and wonder and miracle. So I want you to know that there is a biblical norm. Sometimes we as believers have been raised up in a non-biblical, subnormal Christianity or kind of a Sardis or Laodicea system, and we're not used to hearing leaders joyfully talk about prayer, joyfully talk about answers. Why haven't we seen answers in the sanctuary, like Acts 4? Why haven't we seen, if prayer is so powerful, if there's such miracle, if we ask and answers come, if we seek and we find, if we knock and doors get opened, I would think that as we gather in the presence of God in our worship services, that we would see answers as we see in Scripture right in front of our eyes. I'm going to tell you that's the norm. I'm going to tell you that's what we see in the book of Acts. That intercession and prayer and at times waiting on God, at other times instant prayer, healings, signs, God doing things. I mean, think in terms what I think is foundational, Acts chapter 4. They're all gathered together now. They've been threatened to be shut down. I mean, there's the threats. And that's what the world, the flesh, the devil always tries to do. You, in Christ, have victory over all, a powerful victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're going to live that out. We're going to live in that kind of power and victory and development. And some of that has, you know, part of that deals with your embrace of truth and appropriation of truth and living out of truth. But one of the great foundations, Acts 4, they raised their voices together to God in prayer. So they joined and they unleashed in prayer. They quoted Scripture. They sought God to grant them boldness. And right there, power of God so struck them, so filled them, that the power of God shook the building. Would to God that happened all over. The most supernatural gathering place on the planet should be the church. It should be when we as the church are gathering together and in the presence of God, acknowledging when two or three gather in my name, Jesus said, I am there in the midst, right? The acknowledgement of his presence, the honoring of the Spirit of God, the standing before the throne of God in faith as we're called to come boldly. Come with faith. God said, ask and it will be answered. Seek and you're going to find it. Knock and doors are going to be answered or opened. And then think in terms of the church gathered. I mean, there is this incredible worship in Quantinia in the presence and power of the Spirit of God. There should be, let me tell you this, if I ever go back to pastoring a local church, as I did in the past, the time within the service where the church rises up and puts out prayer intercession, just like Acts 4, raises their voices together to God in prayer, massive intercession and praying for a lot of things, for the advance of the church, and all the rest, what God wills for us to pray, and all that the Spirit of God is guiding us to pray, and then to pray against the enemy, to pray against evil. A half hour in a local service is minimum. And when I see churches that have 10, 12, 18 seconds of just basic prayers or offering prayers, it's an evidence of how far we have fallen. It's an evidence of how subnormal. And so notice, powerlessness. Even a sense of God being far away instead of manifest and present. Let alone seeing people getting saved in a service, people getting healed in a service, people getting delivered in a service, giftings being used to the glory of God in a service, and the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Well, I'm going to tell you this, Jesus in our relationship to him, the word of God, number two, the you knowing that word, you obeying that word, that's John 15. That's how you demonstrate you love Jesus. That's how you grow in the Lord. That's how the Spirit of God said in James 1 that we are blessed in what we do. We're blessed in our development as we obey the word. So relationship to Jesus and our love for him and our knowing him, our obedience to the word of God, thirdly, our realization that we've been called to mission. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. You and I as believers, maybe decades have gone by and the church has just literally let the church and taught the church to be spectators and watch everything. That must stop instantly because we're all in it together. We're all part of being the saints of God. We are all the sons and daughters in whom the Spirit of God is upon us. We all have that word of God. We can come boldly before that throne. We come with faith in Christ and before that throne. And astounding miracles, astounding answers. So let's just come down to the realities. Very little prayer or no prayer at all, you're not going to see anything. Where there's, I'm going to say it this way, obedient, spirit-filled, faith-filled praying consistently, you're going to see answers. And when you see answers, wow, the joy of the Lord, wow, the triumph of God, wow, the mercy and grace of God happens. So foundations, well, the Lord Jesus, knowing him, loving him, being in his presence. Number two, the word of God. The word of God and you just obeying it and following it and reading it and seeing it and expecting it. Thirdly, then you moving into the works of Jesus, which is part of those, part of the works of Jesus that we've been designed and created in Christ Jesus to do is prayer and the miracles that come. Fourthly, a foundation, God the Holy Spirit. And I can give you Romans 8 and just take a look at the Spirit of God dwelling in you, Spirit of God on you. And this is where it takes time. Listen to the Spirit of God. Yield to the Spirit of God. Let him speak to you and speak into your life. And as you do that, relationship to Jesus, the Word of God in your life, the realization that we're designed to do the works, meaning involving prayer and miraculous answers, the Spirit of God to help you, the Spirit of God to guide you. You, dear believer in Christ, designed for this. You are the most supernaturally backed, enhanced, empowered, prayers laid out before you, examples all over the scriptures for you, before the throne of grace, before the presence of God inseparably, immediately, unceasing. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. How much more will the Father give good gifts? Astounding. Foundations.